Sister Smith, I need your bench. Well, I'm excited about being up here tonight. I truly am. I really feel that God wants this message. I won't say preached. I'm not a preacher. But expounded upon tonight. And so I hope you bear with me if I'm a little awkward here or there. I haven't been practicing lately. What I want to talk tonight about is leaving a legacy. We had a message come in tongues and interpretation last week that said that we need to teach our children, that we need to continue to teach them, that they might know God's word. And so what I'm going to talk tonight about is all of us being that teacher, not only to our children, but to one another, and also to those people who are outside of this building tonight. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to the 78th chapter of Psalms. Oh, that helps. Okay. Chapter 78 of Psalms, verse 6, no, let's start in verse 1 of the 78th chapter. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And tonight I am going to be expounding on verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You may be seated. So tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about leaving a legacy for our children. Now, if the Lord tarries, there are a few things. I can't see you with these on. There are a few things that I accumulated in this world, just as you probably have, that I know will one day go to my daughter and my granddaughter. Now, they haven't come over and labeled anything in the house yet. I think they're still praying that I stay around for a while, but it may come to that point. Right now, I know that my granddaughter has already said, one day I want that blue leather couch in your den. She doesn't have a place of her own. She's 15, but boy, she wants that blue leather couch. On Sunday, as I was in service, God talked to me about giving something to my daughter. And my daughter and son-in-law had a very important meeting yesterday in front of the district board. And God told me that I needed to give my daughter my Bible to take along. Didn't give me a scripture or anything, but I wept when God told me that because to me this is the most important physical thing that I own on the face of this earth. I have hugged this book. I have cried over its pages many, many times. I have been blessed and anointed, and Jesus himself has spoke to me out of these pages. I know I have to leave a legacy, and that will be my legacy to my daughter, is I pray that she becomes every bit the spiritual leader that God wants her to be. The things that I've accumulated on this earth, they don't matter one bit. Because we are looking for that hope after this earth. And those things that are out of this world and out of our understanding are going to be so great and miraculous. The word for legacy in the Bible is inheritance. And that word is used over 200 times. The first time it's used is in Genesis 31 and 14. Would you turn to Genesis 31 and 14 right now? You know, you've probably read this story many times or had it preached about. It's when Jacob takes his family, his two wives, and all their children, and their flocks that they've worked so long for. And it was at this point that they're leaving their father's house. And Rachel and Leah wanted their inheritance from Laban, their father. And the scripture reads, starting in verse 14, "And Rachel and Leah answered and said, 'Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and has quite devoured also our money.'" Hey, Dad, after all these years that we have been working for you and you've changed our wages 10 times over, isn't there something that you should be giving us? Well, like Rachel and Leah, one day we will leave this world, a place that counts us as strangers, wanting to keep us from bondage and take our resources. But when we rise up to go to our real father's house, we will leave with an inheritance. In verse 19, it says, "And Laban went to shear the sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's." She stole the image of her father. She wasn't going to leave empty-handed. So you might be saying, well, what's the big deal? Would she steal some art object or maybe some fancy Hummels that he had tucked away? Well, she takes the family collectibles, but in a different way. It was much, much more than just a collectible. You see, back then, a wealthy man would take their savings of gold and they'd melt it down, and it would be fashioned into a figure that looked just like them. It was made into the image or the likeness of the father. At death, the image or images, if they had a lot of money, were given to the children of the deceased. The image literally was the inheritance of the children. Whoever had the image of the father had the inheritance. So how does that deal with us? Have you ever noticed that the armor of God, which is talked about, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, it doesn't make any provision for the back. There's no coverage for the back. Ephesians 6 and 14 gives us armor, the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, but nothing to cover the back attack. Yet God does give us protection for our backs. Isaiah 58 and 8 says, "The glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard." Well, what is the glory of the Lord? What protects the family from sneak attacks by the enemy? Titus 2 and 5 says, "The women are to be keepers at home." Now, this doesn't mean that we're just cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids. Back in the 60s, when there was women's lib, homemakers were sort of made light of. Oh, you have to get out there and you have to work like the men do, and we deserve equal pay. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted us to be a guard at our home. Ladies, you are a guard that will be aware of any evil that would try to come into your homes because God made women very sensitive to his spirit. That's the reason why it's so easy for us to cry during worship, to come up to an altar and receive the Holy Ghost so easy, because we're so sensitive to God's spirit. Rebellion, actually, is an invitation for evil to enter. But uncut hair brings protection to the entire family, because the glory of the Lord shall be our rear guard. God has given us our long uncut hair as the glory of God. I wonder how many husbands, I just wonder how many husbands have fallen into sin because there was no rear guard in their home. Proverbs 31 and 11 says, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." What an awesome responsibility we ladies have. Yet what a tremendous privilege God has entrusted you with. If you ever get to the point of wanting to destroy your glory, consider how it will affect your family and your church. Because I believe over and over again that protection that you women have provided has made this church body what it is. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, in the midst of a people who worshiped Diana. So remember, he wrote 1 Corinthians 11 while there were many, many people who had joined Diana's church. If you were a convert of the god Diana, the woman would cut off their hair and throw it at a burning altar at the entryway to their church to sacrifice to the god Diana. When these women came to Jesus, they assumed they had to cut off their hair the same way, just like they did for Diana. But the converts from Diana to Christianity did not. But Paul wrote, No, God gave you your hair for a covering. It's your protection. It is a glory to you. It gives power to you with the angels. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11 and 16. If you would turn there, please. Paul is telling us, you know, this is a different God. This isn't the God Diana. 1 Corinthians 11 and 16 says, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Many people who don't know the Bible well will pull out this scripture and say, "No, we don't have the custom of cutting hair. I mean, of leaving it long. That's not it." But what he's speaking of is Diana's time and her converts. We don't have the same customs as Diana of cutting hair and throwing it as a sacrifice. Our praise and worship, of course, is the sacrifice God's looking for. Jeremiah 7:29 says, "Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord has rejected and forsaken this generation of his wrath." So what God is saying there is, you might as well be totally shorn. Your hair might as well be cut off, because you have so disobeyed me that I've forsaken your generation. He's showing you that cut hair is not a good thing. The devil realizes the power you ladies have at your disposal. The devil once enjoyed the same position, and he wants that power back every time he sees you. He wants it back so he can run rampant in the church. "Oh, it doesn't matter if you just cut the bangs. It doesn't matter if you just trim it out or thin it out." Or He wants to say, look at so-and-so, they've done it. Look at that church, they do it. If you lay your head in Delilah's lap, we will one day shake ourselves only to find our strength and glory has departed. God is still looking for great women. So what's the big deal here? Why are you talking about this, Sister Schumacher? You know, just because Leah took the family collectibles, why is that a big deal? Well, let's turn to Romans 8 and 29. We can conform to the image of God. We receive the legacy inheritance of the Father. Romans 8 and 29 tells us to be conformed to the image of the Son. This world and the enemy of our souls wants to steal the image of our Father. He wants to strip us of our inheritance or our legacy. In Ezekiel 28, 14 through 16, we see that Lucifer had a very special place of anointing. He was the covering cherub that guarded the glory of the Lord. But one day, he overheard God say to the angels, this might be a good reason not to listen to other people's talking. God said to the angels, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. What? Satan must have said, man is going to get the image of the Father? Because whoever had the image has all the inheritance. Satan knew that. Could it have been this jealousy that caused Satan to rebel? When Satan was cast out of heaven, he lost his covering ministry. Where did that covering ministry go? That of guarding the glory of the Lord. God delegated Lucifer's ministry to all of you women. 1 Corinthians 11 and 10. If you want to turn back to Corinthians 11 again, let's read this. I want you to see this in the scriptures. I don't want you to have your friends say, well, why do you all have long hair and you not have an answer for it? And more than that, I want you to have it down in your soul, what you actually have. 1 Corinthians 11 and 10 says, for this cause ought the women to have power on her head because of the angels. And going down to verse 15, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So many times you will see, I came out of a denominational church where I had to wear a head covering all the time. And that denominational church saw these scriptures. And so they didn't understand that my long, uncut hair was my covering. Instead, they made it easier for their congregations and just said, well, wear a covering at church, and that will suffice. With your long hair, that is your covering. I have many times seen women come up to the altar and take down their long hair and just let it cover their heads as they were praying. This is beautiful unto the Lord. When Satan sees our hair, it symbolizes everything that he has lost. He sees us the guardians of the glory of God, which was once his position. Ever wonder why in the curse in Genesis that the serpent said to God said to the serpent, and I will put enmity or hostility between thee and the woman? Just the woman. Why not the woman and the man? Because we ladies have what was Satan's. His punishment is reflected back every day as he sees the image of God in us. He desperately is trying to destroy the beauty of holiness and tarnish the image of God. In Genesis 31, when Laban told Jacob, "All the sheep that are ring-striped or striped are yours," God told Jacob to take green poplar rods and strip away part of the bark and lay them at the water's edge where they came to drink and mate. So when he took off that bark in stripes, it made the wood look like stripes, all those sticks. In Genesis 31 and verse 39, it says, "And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-striped or striped." We have to be careful. We have to be careful what we lay in front of the eyes of our children. Now, we are in this congregation, all of us, at many different stages. Our goal, pastor's goal and my goal, in everything that we do, is that we can bring this congregation to a closer walk with Jesus. That you might fall in love with him daily more and more, see the things that he loves, and want to make yourself in his image. But if you're a teacher, or if you're a musician, if you are any kind of leader in this church, what do you think it tells our young people when they go on some of the social media sites and seeing you dressed inappropriately in your pictures? Or reading about you going places that you know a pastor wouldn't approve of? What exactly is it telling them? Well, you stand in front of me in Power Hour or in DOC or in Sunday school and you teach me this and that, but then I see pictures of you like this. We need to be careful what we lay in the eyes of our children. There is good and bad in all things. So everything on social media is not bad. But we're God's kids. Ladies, I want to leave a legacy to this next generation. Just as God told us Sunday in tongues and interpretation, teach your children. Show them forth that they might go on and build on what you've done. And whatever is placed before them, where we receive the word of God, whether it be in a classroom or at this altar, where they receive the Holy Ghost and are conceived, that's what they will become. Coming down to a close now, if the musicians would like to come. I'm not keeping you long tonight. Don't know how much of me you all can tolerate. I was thinking as I was working on this today, you've all seen that iconic picture of where the Twin Towers went down, and they put bright lights shining straight up so that people could see where the towers were. And I thought, wouldn't that be neat if God could do that to us Christians, that somehow out of our heads we just have this tower of light, so wherever we went, for people far and wide, they could say, "Hey, a Christian's coming. That's a Christian. Oh, wow, maybe I could talk. Maybe they could help me. I have a need." You know, if you allow yourself to be fashioned in the form of the Father, to be like him in his image, people will see that. And it's not just going to be your long hair and your skirts that are going to draw them. It will bring them. But then the purity of heart and the love that you speak will draw them into a place of repentance, a place where they can receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in a new language, a place where they can be baptized and have all their sins washed away. That's what all of this is about. I thank God for a church that has the image of the Father. We have the inheritance, and nothing can take that away from you because Jesus said he would never leave you or forsake you. So I pray, whether you're walking slowly towards God tonight, you may all stand. Whether you're walking slowly towards God tonight, or whether you have run as hard as you can and you're ready right now if God would call, I pray that you remember that the win is not necessarily to the swiftest, but the one who makes it over the finish line. I wish that I could pray all of you would love this word as much as I love this word. Because it's something that gets in your heart, and it will never, ever let you go. It will keep you in times of sorrow. It will keep you, like Sister Smith said, when you are hurting so bad, you don't know what to do. It will keep you from doing disastrous things to yourself. And I pray right now for every single one of you. This altar is open. I pray that you would come and be touched by a God that looked at you and formed you just the way he is, that loves you without condition. Thank you, Jesus.